Our gospel reading today is taken from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." In the name of Jesus, amen. They had spent a couple of months planning their vacation, and they were day three into it. They stopped at a cafe on the roadside and enjoyed their lunch. And driving away from the restaurant, the woman had left her reading glasses there, but did not know it at the time. Down the road a ways, she discovered the absence of her reading glasses and told her husband, "Let's go back and get them." Finally, they found a place where they could turn around, and he was relentless. He couldn't get over what had happened. He thought it was so foolish what she did. And he just didn't give in at all. He was just raking her over the coals. And they finally got to the restaurant, and she got out of the car. And as she was walking to the door, he rolled down his window and shouted out from the driver's side, "While you're in there, you may as well get my hat." Martha had no intention to invite Jesus and his disciples into her home only for her to take him to task and yell at him, "Don't you care? Don't you care?" She had no intention. But isn't it amazing how fun things can become bad things quicker than we want them to? How trying to do something good can end up becoming something a lot different, even bad. And what did Jesus say? He invited Martha to join her. And so our sermon message is titled, "Living at the Feet of Jesus." You know, Mary had chosen the right thing. As much as Martha wanted to be the hostess, who was the real host in Martha's home? It was Jesus. Jesus, who could empower both Mary and Martha to work in the kitchen and to do it in joy. It was Jesus who was there to empower everyone there so that they could go about their lives of good works in thought, in word, in action. They all needed to be served by Jesus before they could serve. And that's an important thing for us to consider as well as we sit at the feet of Jesus today to hear his word in our songs, in our scriptures, in the sermon, in our sharing with one another. We need to just stop and receive from him the care we need so that we can be empowered, because we want to make a difference in our life too. There's all kinds of things we are looking forward to. In fact, our lives are filled with good works in the way that we think and talk and conduct ourselves. Your whole life is a good work so that you can bless the lives you touch. God doesn't need any of our good works. It's the good work of Christ and his work alone that has made us acceptable to God. But the people in our lives need our thoughts, our words, and our actions. But before we can do that, we need to be empowered by Jesus so that we can do those things in hope and peace and joy and love. That's what it's all about. The challenge is this. Good works are worthwhile and even sometimes fun, well, until they aren't. And then your spouse loses her glasses. Or your husband drops the groceries coming in from outside. Or gets a little heated working on the light fixture. Or fill in the blank. I mean, think about it. Think about your life and all the good works that make up your life. And some of them really are fun. Well, until they're not. Some of them, well, you got to do them because someone's got to mow the lawn. Someone's got to finish painting the wall. And if you get into that, great. Those are good works. And they're good works for us all. But how many ways do we lose it? How many ways every day can we lose it like Martha? I mean, watching TV, listening to the news. How many ways can you be tugged and pulled? And it's interesting, when Jesus talks with Martha, he says, you're being dragged around by all kinds of things. Well, excuse me, when you're working in the kitchen, you've got a lot going on. You're going to be dragged in all kinds of different ways because that's what it takes to cook. The question is, do you really want to serve your meal that way? Here's the food, eat it. I've had it. I don't even want to have any of it. I mean, is that the way it's supposed to be? What a good work that is, huh? It needs a lot of Jesus' blood to cleanse it, huh? And while all of our good works need the grace of God to make them work, as a believer, I want to make a difference and I want to do it in joy. I want to be a joyful husband, a loving dad, a caring pastor. And I try that until it doesn't work. Just like you try it in your life until it doesn't work. And then you lose it. I mean, how many ways can it happen on a daily basis? I mean, driving around the Metroplex. How many times can you lose it on 75? Amen? Watching TV, seeing what's going on in the world around us. How many ways can we think, really? Is that any way for us to be Christians? Just to resign to it? I mean, what are some of the things that we say? How do we think? I mean, you can just picture Martha in the kitchen. She really wants to do a good job of serving. She loves this idea of Jesus in her home. She wants the best for him. And she's busy. And what starts happening to her brain? I call it stinking thinking or sinful thinking. I mean, she's just getting worked up more and more and more. She's convinced in her mind she has no one else to blame. She's convinced in her mind that Jesus doesn't care. Oh, really? Yes, that's her conviction. So as she's slaving in the kitchen, working away, wanting to do the best, as she struggles with herself, as she's struggling with her thoughts, and her thoughts are killing her, she finally has to give out and share her thoughts with Jesus and give him a piece of her mind. Poor Martha. I mean, do you sense a little bit of the pain in this? Have you ever put your foot in your mouth? I mean, the last thing she wanted to do, asking Jesus into her home, was to yell at him. And yet, what does she do? She loses it. She's already lost it with herself. And she loses it with Jesus. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Don't you care? Really? She was convinced of it. She knew it was the truth. And yet it wasn't the truth. I mean, how many ways do we do that to ourselves? How many ways do we throw ourselves under the bus? Like Martha threw herself under the bus. And then, how many ways can we throw other people under the bus as well, with the same conviction? Amen? Are we ready to say, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, man? At least she's talking to the right guy. It's an interesting prayer, would you agree? Really? I mean, at least she's saying the prayer to the right one. And of course, you know, this is going to be a dialogue. Don't you care? And how does Jesus respond? But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Well, I wonder if she saw that coming. No. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. It could be just as well, Stace, Stace, or Jody, Jody, or, I mean, should we go through the whole congregation? I mean, how many ways are you and I anxious and troubled about many things on a daily basis? How many ways do we get in too deep? And we really started with the best of intentions. We really thought we could make a difference only to say, Lord, how in the world did I land here? Jesus tells her, she's anxious and troubled about many things. Have you ever said that to someone else? I mean, that's like a fight ready to happen. Talk about poking the bear. And yet it's the truth. How many ways are you and I anxious and troubled about many things? Every day, right? And then Jesus tells her more truth. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Too busy to say the prayers, too busy to do devotions. Not anymore. Stop. Be still. Receive from the Lord so that you don't lose it with yourself. I mean, who do you lose it with the most? Yourself. Who are you the toughest on with your thinking? Yourself. And then the people in your home and where you spend most of your time. And yet Jesus offers help. We said this last Sunday. We'll read it again today because it's just such an important passage. Let's read it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This invitation, it's open all the time to all who are working hard copiously. That's what that Greek word is. To labor, to really work hard, to be dialed in and focused. Who are just burdened with all kinds of things. Come to me, Jesus says. I will give you rest. That's a promise. And even if you and I try to keep our promises and realize how hard it is, he keeps his promises. Take him up on it. The next time you find yourself ready to lose it with yourself. Lord, I've about had it up to here with me. I need you to help me before I hurt me anymore. Help me, Lord. Hold me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. And what kind of a teacher is he? He's a gentle and lowly one. He loves taking care of you. He doesn't complain about you. He doesn't criticize you. He doesn't reject you. He loves you. Take him up on it. Ask him to help you. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to give you rest. You know, your soul. What's a person's soul? It's his life. I mean, how many places in your life can you become troubled and burdened and heavy laden? You know, and isn't it amazing? It's oftentimes in the places you want to make the biggest difference, have the biggest impact, only to realize how you fall short. Is that a bad thing? No, not at all. As long as you go to the Lord and talk with him and learn from him and grow in what he alone can do for you. So Jesus, with Martha's, just doing what Jesus does. And he does the same thing in your life and my life. He wants to grow us in the ways of faith, hope, and love, so that when we see those things being robbed of us from our own sinful nature, from the pressures that come from outside, that we will ask him to help us like only he can. Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, grow me. Lord Jesus, heal me. It doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. Just call upon the Lord and ask for his help. It's interesting, in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, there is a little mini sermon. And the Psalms were written by the sons of Korah. And it's a very interesting backstory, and I'll save that for another time. But the sons were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these two psalms. And the first psalm is all about a person's struggle with himself. Psalm 42 is all about struggle. He's not going to church anymore. He doesn't know where to find God anymore. He sees that he's just overwhelmed with all the things going on in life. And that can be your life and my life. Just dealing with ourselves. Psalm 42. And then Psalm 43 is interesting because Psalm 43, now he's looking at the nation that he's a part of and thinking, what has happened? What has happened to this nation? And so, you know, it's not about them anymore. It's about us. You know, we're struggling with our lives. We see a world, a culture, a nation struggling these days, the United States. And this is how the psalmists put all that stuff to rest. They do this. It's in Psalm 42. It's in Psalm 43. And so this is like a little mini sermon you can memorize and preach to yourself. And I grabbed it from Psalm 43 because it's the same as in Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? I mean, what's he doing? He's talking to himself. He's evaluating himself. It's like he's observing himself and seeing he's a hot mess. And he sees that he's disturbed and struggling inside. And now he's just asking himself these questions. Now he's poking his own bear, right? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Disturbed in the NIV, the old NIV version. Disturbed. There's a word war going on inside. There's all kinds of struggles. When Jesus said that Martha was worried, it's an interesting word. It means she's bouncing back and forth from opinions, struggling with herself. And of course, the answer to the solution doesn't sit in the analysis that we're struggling. It's in the sermon that comes next. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. I'm not doing a very good job now, but I will. Hope in God, my salvation and my God. There's a great sermon right there. It's sure a whole lot shorter than this one. Think about it. The next time you find yourself struggling, this is the go-to thing. Why are you downcast, O my life? Why so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him still, my Savior and my God. I mean, that's a better message than the stinky sermons that we can so quickly preach against ourselves and others. Poor Martha, she just wanted to make a difference. And it became a mess. Bless her heart. But boy, we can relate. So the next time you find yourself stressed, draw near to Jesus. Talk with him. Listen to him. Learn from him. Grow from him. Trust him. He is the one thing needful. And like yeast in bread dough, he makes a difference across all the aspects of our lives where we have all kinds of works to carry out to bless our lives and to bless the lives of others. And some of those good works we love to do until we don't. Some of them we'll struggle with, even though mowing the lawn is a great accomplishment, I guess you'd say. But in Christ, we are empowered to carry out our lives. And that's what Martha learned that day, along with everyone else. But Jesus kind of leaves us with a cliffhanger here. We don't know how Martha responds. We don't hear her saying anything else. I wish there was like a verse 43 that goes like this. This is the Stace version. And Martha, realizing the wisdom of the Lord's words, sat down next to her sister, kissed her on the cheek, apologized. But it's not there. We don't know how Martha responded. I mean, I'd like to think that Jesus landed the fish and that Martha was okay. I mean, we certainly hear about her later on in chapter 11 of Luke's gospel. But Luke leaves it out. That's one thing we can ask Martha when we see her in heaven. So Martha, tell me the rest of the story. What did you do? What happened? How did everything go after that awkward moment, right? But it's not there. And it doesn't really matter because it's not about Martha anymore, is it? It's about me. It's about you. It's about how we're going to respond to stress today, how we're going to face the challenges of tomorrow, how we go through this week. And we know there's going to be struggles within, there's going to be conflicts outside, but there's a go-to sermon that we can apply to ourselves anytime we need to, knowing that Jesus is that one thing needful. When you think about how important this is, it really isn't a stretch to think that we can live at the feet of Jesus. I would say there's no better way to negotiate this day and this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, amen.